All right, if you would, you're willing, open your Bibles to Matthew, the 7th chapter. I got to dig something out of my pocket here. All right, what I have in my hand is 2 dimes. Now, I'm not going to do a magic trick, nothing like that. 1964. Dime, and a 1965 or 66, I couldn't see it really. Now, the difference between these 2 dimes, this one's 90% silver, so 0.023 ounces of silver. This one, no silver. It's copper and nickel mix, cost the mint about almost 3 cents to make it. 90% silver dime, if you went by today's silver price, probably worth just under $2. So it's almost a tenth of an ounce of silver. Now, what's interesting is for most of human history, about a tenth of an ounce of silver, so a little bit more silver than this, was a good wage to make for a worker to take care of his family, earning one of these a day. And so the U.S. Mint, first dime, 1796, they put these reeded edges, you know, the little edges there on your dime, right? They did that in 1796, because you know what people used to do? They'd get a file and they'd, you know, silver coins. They'd get the shavings and they'd do that to a bunch of them. Next thing you know, they got enough for another coin or something. And so that tenth ounce of silver, what have you, or 0.0723 ounces of silver wasn't really it anymore. And so they put these reeded edges on here. So if you're getting a dime from somebody and you can see that they shaved off some of that silver, you're like, hey, I'm not taking that. Now here's the interesting part to me. So there's a little bit of history. So they stopped putting silver in U.S. coins in 1964. 1965, quarters the same. You got the reeded edges still. Why is there still reeded edges on it? There's no need for it. Nobody's going to go through the trouble of scraping off, you know, from a nickel and copper dime that doesn't really have any value, you know, and save up a bunch of shavings to make another dime. So why did they do that? I want you to think about this. Because they wanted people, if you look into this, they wanted people to have the same confidence in the coin 1965 and onward as they did 64 and before. Oh, it's the same. No, it's not the same. You go on a lot of dimes, go over there, jewelry store, the 64 and earlier, you know, they're $8, $9, $10 for a pre-64 dime, right? Now, I was thinking about that. It was basically trying to make something look like what it used to be so that they would have the same confidence in something that's about worthless now anyways. You can't even get a gumball with it anymore, right? You know, with the devaluing of the money and that kind of thing. And so over the years, people, you know, you go to any store there and that clerk happened to pull out, you know, I needed some change, and they just happen to see they're going to give me, you know, a handful of 64 and earlier. They don't know. They don't care. Most people don't know. And just hand it to me. Why? Because they think they're the same, but they're not. And so what I want you to understand is, or think about for this devotional here this evening, is that's what a lot of people have done to the Lord's church. Okay? It looks the same from a distance, right? From where you're sitting, you can't tell the difference. You know, they did a lot of things, people that have changed the Lord's church into something to make it look like the original. But if you know, right, you happen to know coins, you're going to put, you know, that's not worth anything, I'll take this one. Right? Same thing with the Lord's church, you got to look deep, and when you look deep at something, you want to make sure that it's the original. Okay? And people that have started denominations and all that throughout the years, you know, they put the reeded edges on that religion, right? To make it look like the original. But if you look close, that's not what the Lord started, right? Jesus is ahead of the body, his church, Colossians 1 and verse 18. All right, there's no other way to the Father except through him, Acts 4 and verse 16. All right, John 14 and verse 6, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so now our job is to make sure that we're following Christ and him alone and the standards that he gives, right? Look for the real value and not what the world says the value is, with its reeded edges and all. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus is ending the Sermon on the Mount. You know, of course, it says, not everyone, in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Right, so you get a lot of people saying, I'm doing the will of the Father. Look at my reeded edges. All right? Yeah, it looks a lot like this. All right? But it's not the will of the Father. They've changed it for a thousand different reasons, right? But look at all these great things that we've done for you, but it's worthless. In verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings or words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. So the plea for us continuously is, as we're looking for the real thing, right? We're looking for the real thing. Right, it's not about worthless reeded edges. We're looking for the real thing of value, because that's the only thing that'll save you. If you're here this evening and you've never obeyed the gospel, the call for you is to look for the real thing, right, and study what God says concerning that. Not what you've been told. What have you seen with your own eyes? If you're here this evening and you think, well, I think I might be saved, I don't know. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, because this is the most important thing you'll ever do. When you get a chance, get a piece of paper. I want you to write down, you know, the day that you think that you were probably saved. Write down everything that happened. Everything, just write it down. Right? The preacher said this. The pastor said that. I did this. I did that. I want you to write it down. I want you to open your Bible. You know, Acts 2:38, Romans 6, 3, and 4, all those passages talk about salvation, and I want you to put them together. If what you wrote doesn't match what God wrote, you got to make a change. Maybe you know that already. You need to make that change. You need to be immersed into Christ. Let's do it. All right? Let's do that this evening. If you've done that and you've fallen away, you're... life has turned into something that you know that God doesn't approve of, and you want the prayers of this congregation, we'd love to show you the love of God. If you have any need this evening spiritually, don't hesitate, please. Let someone know as we stand, as we sing.